We continue speaking about the subject of trials. And James has many words for us regarding this subject, and we continue James chapter 1, beginning in verse number 9. James writes, under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. And the grass of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation or trials. For when he is tried, when he is tested, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." It was Matthew Henry who wrote, "Afflictions are sent to stir up prayer. If they have that effect, and when we are afflicted, we pray more and pray better than before, we may hope that God will hear our prayer and give ear to our cry. For the prayer which by His providence He gives occasion for, and which by His Spirit of grace He indites, shall not return void." We saw last week that the Apostle James is writing to these persecuted Christians, and he is encouraging them to pray. He is encouraging them to pray specifically for wisdom. That they will pray to God, the God of wisdom, that they will pray to God through the Spirit of wisdom, that they will be used in a mighty way throughout this trying time to let their light so shine before men. And as we continue our study through this book tonight, we continue considering the subjects of trials and afflictions. And we know that James could have mentioned this topic and passed on to a different topic rather quickly, but he did not. The Holy Spirit of God moved him in such a way to park, if you will, for a few moments on this topic. And I believe he emphasizes this topic of trials because he knows the believer's continual confrontation with trials in this world. And so long as we are pilgrims who are seeking to live godly in Christ Jesus, we will suffer trials. So long as we are seeking to be faithful followers of the commandments of God, we will know trials. And so long as we are resolved to fear God over men, we will face great trials. And we will continually be confronted with trials, and in particular, persecution. And that is who James is writing to. He is writing to the 12 tribes who have been scattered abroad, and they are scattered throughout the land because of persecution, because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle James is writing to believers who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And James is seeking to encourage them to stay faithful and true. He knows that their faithfulness during such a dark season will be blessed of God. He knows that their faithfulness will conform them more to the image of Jesus Christ. He knows that their faithfulness will be used as a bright witness to a lost and dying world. And he knows their faithfulness will be used to encourage and to help other Christians who are suffering also. So James encourages them to respond to their trials in their lives in two ways. He encourages them to count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, diverse temptations. And this is not the natural response. The natural response is to run to our bed and hide under the covers and whine, complain, and cry out to God, "Why me? Why now? Why this way?" But the supernatural response, the response that James wants us to have, is to count it all joy, knowing that God is able to use our trials for our spiritual good and for His eternal glory. He also encourages us to pray for wisdom, to pray by faith, believing that God is able to help us and encourage us through the storms of life. And he continues here, he's continuing by concluding his sermonette on trials, if you will, and he's encouraging them in three ways I want to look at tonight. So in verses 9 through 12, we see three truths, three things the Apostle James provides us with. We see an encouragement, we see a warning, and then we see a benediction. Let's start with the encouragement in verses 9 through 10. I have to tell you, in searching the commentaries, not many commentators are commenting on these verses. They kind of just slide past them. But I believe that the Spirit of God has them in the Scripture for a reason. As I was wrestling, Lord, what is this? What are the truths that you wish to bring out to the church family tonight? And so let me give you the first one. We see James gives an encouragement. James says, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away." There's an encouragement, and there's an encouragement to those who are poor and those who are rich. The poor are to rejoice. The poor who are suffering persecution, who are suffering trials, are to rejoice in the midst of their trials, because spiritually in Christ, they are exalted. Spiritually in Christ, they are rich. And though he, the one who is poor, does not have much in regards to material possessions, he does not have much in his bank account, he has the greatest possession in the Lord Jesus Christ. So James knows that there are many types and conditions of people that he is writing to, and James is writing to encourage those who have lost everything for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we remember the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Now the Apostle Paul is not proclaiming a prosperity Benny Hinn message here. He is not saying if you become a Christian, you will live in Beverly Hills in Hollywood, and you will live the good American life, living it how you want to, buying whatever you want to. No, he's encouraging those who have lost everything, those who are poor in this world, to look up, to be encouraged, because the greatest riches that a man can have is the riches found in the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritual riches. So this is an encouragement to us. Sometimes we look at our bank accounts, and sometimes we wonder, why me and why now? Sometimes trials come even at hard, difficult times financially. We wonder what is going on. And we need to remember this encouragement of James. And we need to remember that our greatest treasure is in Christ. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And we remember as believers, if everything is taken away from us, we have the greatest possession in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that which is more precious than silver and more costly than gold. And James is issuing an encouragement to those who are poor. And see here also, he's giving an encouragement to those who are rich. He says, "Let those who are of a low degree rejoice in that he is exalted." Verse 10, he says, "But let the rich rejoice in that he is made low." Those who are poor are to rejoice in their exaltation, and those who are rich are to rejoice in their humiliation. But the rich in that he is made low. And there are many lessons that one can learn from humiliation and loss during times of trials. And trials, specifically, those trials which cause us some sort of financial loss, teach us the instability of wealth. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 5, that riches certainly make themselves wings and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. It teaches us also the insufficiency of wealth. And riches cannot provide us with inner peace and satisfaction. So the rich man is to rejoice because in his riches is no satisfaction. No spiritual, no inward satisfaction. Oh, the satisfaction for the believer ought to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord. But we are tempted, and during times of trials, to think that money and material things will provide us with greater joy in life. If we're honest, when we go through times of heartache, times of great difficulty, sometimes we're tempted to think, oh, if only I had $1 million in the bank account. That would make me happy. I could get through this trial a lot better. Oh, if only I had a mansion with 5 cars. Now then I would be satisfied. Then this trial won't be as hard as it is. Oh, if only I had a private jet and I could fly to the Bahamas or to Hawaii every month and rest. Then this trial would be a lot easier. Oh, James is teaching us that our satisfaction should not be in our worldly goods. Our satisfaction should not be in finances, but our satisfaction should be in the Lord. James is encouraging. He is encouraging both poor and rich. Both are suffering. Both are suffering because of the same circumstances, persecution, and both have cause to rejoice. So first tonight we see an encouragement given. Secondly, we see a warning in verse number 11. And this warning is issued to those who are rich. Notice it there. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. His warning is to those who are rich. And his warning is in the form of an illustration. As the grass and flower are dried and destroyed by the intense hot winds, so riches will one day vanish away. For those unfamiliar with the word grass, it's this green stuff that grows in the ground. Sometimes we see it after a big rain. James is telling the rich, he's warning the rich not to place emphasis on their riches. Why? Because their riches are able to flee in a moment, and one day they will die. And you've heard the saying before, you cannot attach a U-Haul trailer with your material goods to your casket. Your riches will not go with you. So there's a cause to rejoice in the spiritual treasure in Christ, and there's a cause to be warned that we do not place our faith and trust in that which is unstable. Earthly riches are like the flowers of the field. Though the flowers of the field, they have an outward display of beauty and glory, and these flowers attract those who are looking upon its glory and beauty, but in an instant a strong hot wind could come and it is all destroyed. So he's getting the believers to look up and to look heavenward, to set their affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And the warning is issued to help those who are financially well off to avoid placing their faith and trust in their riches. And this places things in perspective. We remember the rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked, "What shall I do to be saved? I've done all these things. I've kept the commandments. What can I do to have eternal life?" Jesus says, "Sell everything and follow me." The rich young ruler leaves sorrowful. His heart was too attached to his riches. He was possessed with his possessions. And what a sad story. What a sad account. And the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of evil. It is the root of all sorts of evil. And we need to guard ourselves, church family. And really, truly, if we are to understand this warning, we better take heed to it ourselves. Because compared to the rest of the world, we are rich. We are wealthy. Take the rest of the world, and we are millionaires compared to what they're living in. So this is a warning for us. We think this is a warning to those who are in Beverly Hills. We think this is a warning to the millionaires in Palm Springs. This is a warning to us not to place our faith and trust in riches, but to place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 11:28, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17, Paul tells Timothy, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." There's an encouragement. There's a warning. And thirdly tonight, there's a benediction. Verse number 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." This is interesting. James goes full circle. This little sermon on trials goes full circle. And James starts the sermon by telling us, "Count it all joy." He ends the sermon by telling us that we are blessed when we go through trials. We are blessed when we endure temptations. And so he concludes with a benediction. And we see the apostles doing this throughout their epistles. They conclude with a doxology. They conclude with a benediction to the believers in Jesus Christ. And the benediction here for us tonight and for us who are going through trials is that God will bless us even in the midst of trials. There is a benediction given to all who endure. Notice the benediction is not given to those who merely face trials, but for those who endure trials. Those who persevere. We can only endure and persevere in our trials through the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you are going through deep heartaches. Some of you are going through physical pain. Some of you have gone through great loss. And as I mentioned last week, it is said that one is coming out of a great trial. One is in the midst of a great trial, or one is about to enter into a great trial. And we need these words that James is preaching. And we need to hide them deep within our hearts. And we need to remember that when they come, we can count it all joy, knowing that God is with us. We need to remember that through our trials, we can be blessed of God because we know that God is purifying us through our trials. We are blessed in our trials because we know that God is using our trials to teach us His Word. And we are blessed because God uses our trials to teach us to pray and to pray for wisdom and to pray in faith, believing in God. And we are blessed because our trials will provide opportunities for us to help and encourage others who are going through trials. There's an eternal reward for those who are faithful, James says. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And the illustration is of an athlete, one running a race. And an athlete runs and runs and runs. And in his heart, he is fatigued and tired. His body is weak. And he is thinking about giving up. He is wondering if he will ever reach the finish line. But James says, continue running. Continue looking towards the goal. Continue through this dark time, because when you finish, you will receive the crown of life. When you finish, there will be fullness of joy when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Continue. Endure. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Keep looking unto Jesus. That is the message that James is giving here. Let me conclude tonight by asking, are you being tested by God? And if so, in what way? Are you trusting in the Lord? Or are you trusting in riches? Are you delighting in the Lord and in His Word? Or are you delighting in the things that God gives? Are there trials in your life? If so, continue clinging to God. Continue praying by faith, understanding that He is able to use your trial as He used Joseph. He is able to use what you are going through to put His name on display like He did with Job. He is able to do great and mighty things through your life as He did with the prophet Daniel. He is able to do great and mighty things with your life as He did with Peter in John. Count it all joy. Understand that you are blessed even in the midst of the trial. Sometimes we wonder, God, have you forsaken me? We're like David the psalmist, wondering where God is, desiring His presence. Our hearts seek Him and it seems quiet, but understand, God is there. He has not left you. He will not leave you. And He is using what you're going through in a great and mighty way. Let me conclude by giving you two scripture references. Romans 12:12, Paul writes, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Church family, be encouraged. Count it all joy. Continue to endure. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank You for the words of James. And thank You for his encouragement. Thank You for his challenge, his warning. I pray that we tonight would not be mere hearers of Your word, but doers, Lord. Help us to lean upon You and not on our own understanding, to trust in You with all of our heart, understanding, Lord, that You have promised to direct our paths. Lord, I pray that You will bring great comfort to those who need comfort tonight. Lord, I pray that You will lift them up, that You will give them faith, that they will believe that You are able to do exceeding above all that we ask or think, even in the midst of great trials, even in the midst of great loss. Lord, I pray that You uplift our hearts and souls tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.